Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Between Sessions podcast. I'm Ebony Harris. I'll forget that part.
And I am Elisa Bokeen, and we are two brown chicks changing the face of therapy on both sides of the couch. Ebony's ready for vacation. She's like,
I'm already in vacation
mode. I'm off the couch.
Done. Just so y'all know, we won't have a show next week. I'm not going to be here. but we are here today with Dr. Janae Taylor.
Yes.
Minding My Black Business, which is such a dope podcast. And we were all a part of the Minority Podcast Month Twitter campaign. Yeah. Which was really cool. And was introducing different podcasts that talk about mental health. So that was awesome. But we are excited to have Dr. Janae here to talk about entrepreneurship and mental health and how those things impact each other, especially as a brown person. Welcome. Yes,
we love all things mental health. We love all things entrepreneur, and we
all
love
things business
that help us manage the stress that comes from both.
Yeah, well, I definitely always enjoy these types of conversations, and I'm such a fan of all the things that you all do. So I am looking forward to this.
We're excited. I got my notepad. I'm ready.
Oh, Lisa. Wait, this is way off topic. I'm taking this on the plane to fill out my bucket list. Elisa gave me this for Christmas, and it's just been sitting. So this is what I'm doing on my list. So I'm sure this conversation will go into like, oh, okay, so I'm about to start this business. I'm about to start.
She's going international because she's going on an international trip. So she's going to be over there.
Yes, ma'am.
Spreading the good word.
Spread it all over. Okay. Yeah. So, Dr. Jaden, can you tell us a little bit about just your path into therapy and entrepreneurship and all that?
Oh, my path into therapy. Okay. So,
it's going to be a good story. Okay.
Right. I got mine too.
Yes.
I got mine.
Yes.
Got my hibiscus tea brewing. So, so from a pretty fairly young age, I knew that I wanted to sort of be in the business of helping folks. I actually thought that I would be a psychiatrist. I didn't really know what that meant in terms of like the distinction between med school and grad school. It wasn't until 11th grade that I started to understand those things. But I still was like, I'm going to go to med school. I'm going to do that. That sounds really good. So then went to my undergrad, Tuskegee University, as a pre-med major, and then got into organic chemistry and was no longer a pre-med major.
Pre-med life was not for me.
No, that's as far as it goes for me. So, fortunately, at that same time, I was taking some psychology classes and got a chance to get really connected to a few of the psychology professors and was able to like have some volunteer experiences. And even growing up there, my mentor, a black psychologist who lived down the street, for years, my mom had told me, you should go and shadow him and go to his classes. And I was like, nah. And so, I don't want to bother him. Yeah, so in college, that's when the light bulbs came on. And then I started to mentor him throughout the summer and really got to see what he did. So he was a black psychologist working in the VA. It was awesome. So what he also was doing was training too. So there were all these other students who were in like doc programs, and I got to see them, and they looked like me and they talked like me. Wow. And so I got to pick their brains too about how did you get here? How did you get to this thing? Oh, you're not med school? So what does that mean? So it was through there that I went to the University of Georgia and got my master's and doctorate degrees. And so so that was pretty cool. Worked in a lot of different types of agencies from like women's homeless shelters, juvenile detention, pediatric hospitals, community mental health, and sort of landed in doing college work. So I was working at university and college counseling centers for some time. So that I really enjoy that because I enjoy working on university campuses because I sort of, it feels like it keeps me young. They're always doing things. I'm always learning things, learning that my language can be outdated, you know, all those things. but I enjoyed that. And then was even had a group there. We'd had a chapter of Active Minds, which works to promote mental health on college campuses as well. So advocacy has sort of always been my gig. I've always enjoyed those things. One of the things that I kind of kept getting slapped on the wrist for was like gravitating to all the like black and brown students. Like, come, let's talk. Let's do, let's do these things. Right. Or they would find me, you know, one thing or the other. And so it sort of got to a space where I was like, I want to do more of this, but I'm in a situation where I can't. So the only way I can do this is if I sort of create my own thing. And the idea of private practice was something on my radar, but I thought I had to be like close to retirement for something like that to happen. I was like, that's something people do when they sort of want to ease out of work.
Right.
Just, you know, see a couple of people a day.
In my spare time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the idea that you could do it and sort of be in the thriving part of your career was sort of new. So fortunately, there were a couple of people in the agency with me who were in the same space where they wanted to create their own business. And so we used each other. We created like a peer consultation group. We would meet weekly as we each build our businesses and that sort of thing. And so I am still very grateful to them and all the help and support that came with them, with that experience. But one of the things that I was doing that was different, cause it was a group with two other white women, was I really wanted to be, very loud about who I was serving, and who I wanted to serve and who I felt, compelled to serve. And so that was sort of an interesting journey of trying to figure that out. Like, how do I market? What do I put on my website? Do I put me on my website? Do I put my full name? Do I just say Dr. Taylor? What words do I use? What colors do I use? So that's sort of how the private practice started. And so that's still going. So Taylor Counseling and Consulting Services is in full effect here in Virginia Beach. I work with... So those in the Black community who want to work on healthy relationships, work-life balance, race-related traumas. And so what was happening as I was doing those things is I was having all these experiences as an entrepreneur. So, you know, doing quarterly taxes and managing bills and finding new office spaces. And
that's a session just, each itself. Like,
see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? So I'm having this experience where I'm doing therapy, which feels good because this is something I was trained to do, but having this whole other life stream that was like, I don't know. I'm reading books and looking at webinars and being on Facebook, you know, all this sort of thing. I'm like, there has to be a better way to do this. So the things that I was finding, and there are some communities out there about business building, but they didn't necessarily tap into what it means to be an entrepreneur and doing mental health, and specifically for marginalized folks. And so, because for me, there was so many different layers behind all those different pieces. And I was like, well, let's figure out a way to create a space for that to happen. And so hence minding my Black business. And so, it started initially, it was just going to be a podcast. And it was going to be a way for me to just sort of talk about some of the pieces. And then I was like, you know, there's some pretty cool people doing some pretty phenomenal things out there. It'd be cool to talk to them about what they're doing, how they're managing this business building thing. And so then I was like, well, let's add a Facebook group to that. Well, let's do this. So it's sort of doing its thing. And so we're almost a year in.
That's fantastic.
Congratulations. I know, it's going by in a flash. I don't quite understand how that's happened. I've had some wonderful experiences. Like, you know, Ebony, you referenced the May Mental Health campaign that we had, and it was so fun. And and so I was so excited to sort of see you all connect and do that cross promo. And I know some of you have even been on each other's shows since then. And so I'm just like, yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a roundabout way as to how we got
right here. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I love it's sort of what happens, right? When you start to pursue that which you're interested in and you're passionate about, it's like all these additional kind of layers that keep kind of adding on, and you'll see the response that people have, and it's like, oh, I want to learn more about this, or I want more of this, and it's like, okay, it just kind of starts blossoming more and more and more. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you were only a year in, because we've been following you for a while, and I thought you've been in.
We only a year and a half in. At least so long. We've been doing this for 6 years.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I felt like you'd been doing this for so long also. That's what, because you've done so much.
Right.
Like, wait, what? I'm like, you've done all that in less than a year? That's so impressive.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people probably just resonate with the way that you got to mental health. I know for me, similar to your story, I was like, I'm going to be a psychologist. Right. You know, it was, I saw Frazier. Frazier was a psychologist, I believe. I'm a psychologist. And life events caused me to end up becoming a therapist. Just, I was in New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina. Then I had to come home and just talk kind of stuff. So, so that changed the direction. But still knowing that you want to serve people, you want to help people, and not even necessarily even knowing what that looks like and what it can end up being. And even now, who's to say what it's going to look like in 10 years?
Right. Absolutely.
And so that kind of following your path of like what is important to you and what is calling you, and just finding a way to do that. Mm-hmm. So, but what advice or what do you think people need to know before they jump into entrepreneurship, whether that's private practice or maybe other business ideas that they have? And especially like about how it affects your mental health.
Ooh, okay. So, so I would say there are a few things. One is you're going to need your community. And that sounds really simple. And, but I don't know how to express it, the level of seriousness I am around that. And so the community almost needs to be sectioned off into different types of communities. So you're definitely going to need to be around other entrepreneurs, because there are some things that are connected to entrepreneurship that are weird and unexpected and or phenomenal. And so if you're not in that, then you might not fully appreciate or understand or be able to commiserate with the entrepreneur about those things. So I think it's going to be really helpful to have your set of go-to entrepreneurship folks where you can talk to about such things. And so a plug for our group, we do have a Facebook group that does that. So the Minding My Black Business group, people go in there and they do all sorts of things. They celebrate their event. They write about today has been crappy, all sorts of things. But then you're going to need, you know, your support of people that know you and knew you when, because they can help ground you and uplift you. So, these Twitter likes are cool. These Instagram follows are wonderful, but you know, I'm still Janae. And so let's remember that. So, so you're going to need those folks. And these are the people that you turn to, you know, like when it's time to go on vacation and celebrate the birthdays. And that's like, you're going to need the balance of all those things, because a danger of growing a business is that, particularly if it's a business that's connected to your passion, you get so consumed about all the things that are connected to it because it's so exciting and wonderful and beautiful. And then all of a sudden you haven't made any phone calls. You haven't nurtured your relationships. You haven't been outside. Just all sorts of things that happen.
Sure.
And so you need those people to pull you out. And I think it's also going to be helpful to create a vision, create a plan for what you want this business to do. What puzzle piece are you adding to the grand scheme of what's needed here? I sort of did like a, it was pretty cool. So in the peer consultation group that I talked about, we all really sort of did like a guided imagery. We talked about when your business is doing what you want it to do, what does it look like? Like, what does your office look like? And what are you wearing to work? And where is it? Is it at home? Is it somewhere else? And so we sort of did that thing. And the question was even like, okay, so once your day is over, what are you doing? Are you going home? Or are you going out on the town? Like, so it was a whole exercise, which was really cool. But for me, it spoke to the things that I found really important about entrepreneurship, and that this is a business. So it's important to handle things accordingly. But really, what I was really connecting to is that I want to be of service. And so I need to balance that with the thing that might be hardest for me is like putting dollar amounts to the things that I want to be able to provide to folks. So entrepreneurship, I found, can be humbling, in that it tells you the things that are shortfalls or pitfalls for you. And so being willing to be open and being a student to what it means to learn the craft of building a business is going to be really, really helpful, because there will be moments when you're feeling completely overwhelmed or completely deflated, and those are parts of the journey, and nobody is without those things. And so having people and things to pull you out of those things, or even, you know, nurture you, is going to be really, really helpful.
The not glamorous part, because
I
think, you know, I think especially with social media and this kind of trend towards really glorifying entrepreneurship, and love it, but it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And I think so many of us, just like anything else in life, we see the pretty that's on there. We see somebody who's got their branding down. We see somebody who's, you know, making the moves, and you're like, oh, you start that comparison, and you don't necessarily get the insider view as to what it took for them to get there, or how many fetal position cries in the closet. Oh, I'm telling you too much, in your walk-in closet that just sit there rocking yourself.
Or those moments where you start to look at ass, like, maybe it's time for me to get back into the workforce. And if I do that, am I a failure or, you know, and that sort of thing. Yeah, it can certainly be humbling. And you're right, there are lots of parts of it that are not pretty. But this also necessary to get to where you're trying to be.
It definitely teaches you a lot about yourself that you would never get to if you had like a 9-to-5, because you don't get to kind of challenge yourself in that way. Not to say that 9-to-5 is unchallenging, because they can be, which is why got its own set of challenges. But you start to realize what type of person you are, as far as your work ethic, as far as your own being a self-starter, learning new skills,
money management.
Money management. I have friends that are like, I'll pay to get it done. You know, like, I just think it's worth it for me to just let somebody else do it, which I wish I was that way. I want to be that way. Whereas I'm up to 2 o'clock in the morning learning how to do a webinar, you know, as opposed to like, you can pay somebody to do. So just learning more about who you are. And it kind of taps into some of those own beliefs about yourself and why, you know, you might handle things in a certain way. It really is. It does teach you a lot.
It does. And to your point, I feel like I've gotten so many degrees in graphic designing and
I should be able to market. I have so many things to market at this point. Everything. So, but that's a good thing too, because then you always know you got some type of way to make income. You know what I'm saying? You can teach somebody else.
Right.
You got other skills that you've learned. So I'm curious I want you to answer this, but I'm also curious for Lisa and maybe me to answer this next question about what do you see as the top 3 stressors when it comes to like entrepreneurship?
Excuse me. The top 3 stressors. One, I would say the first one would be the jump. So oftentimes people, well, the majority of people that I have been encountering and working with are coming from a spot where they are in full-time work and have the benefits and have the all these other guaranteed spaces. Mm-hmm. So the physical jump from letting go of working for someone else to, okay, this is day one. I'm on my own. The phone's not ringing. I'm looking at my website. What am I supposed to do? I'm waiting on Mr. Print to send me my business cards, you know. So the physical jump can be one that creates a whole symphony of anxiety around tons of things. And also, I think there is this notion for people that something happens, like trumpet sound, or it can feel real anticlimactic. Like you've done this, and then you're waiting and nothing happens. Managing and those expectations. So I think that's probably the first piece. The second piece is that there can be a lot of isolation in entrepreneurship, whether that's either like intentional because you're working from home, like if you don't have a traditional brick and mortar, or if you're in private practice and you're still building your clientele and it's just you, there's nobody to talk to. Or because your hours are wonky. So say, you know, you talked about learning how to do a webinar, but maybe you're staying up. Your work day is different. And so there aren't as many people around when you're sort of doing your thing. So it can be terribly isolating. And sometimes people don't realize it until they've been isolated for quite some time. And then that can create all sorts of havoc in terms of like comparing yourself. If your main source of interaction is digital, that it is sort of looking at those big brands and, you know, likes and IG stories and IGTV and Twitter this and other. So you start to compare yourself to things you see on a computer screen, which you really don't know what's going on once these things hit stop. You don't know where they at. It could be in a park. Who knows what's going on? Right. So the isolation can lead to a lot of comparison, which can set yourself up for a lot of inaccurate expectations about what's supposed to be going on. And then I think entrepreneurs experience so much anxiety. It's just like this constant level of, do I have this much anxiety today or this much anxiety? always there. So it's really about, can I get it down from a 9 to a 7? Because it's gonna be there. It's just gonna be there. And so, but the anxiety can then, for some people, it can be motivating, and they're creating all these things. For other people, it can be debilitating. And so, the anxiety piece is something that really needs to be talked about and managed, because it can do something where it pulls you from the things that you need to sort of recalibrate and get on track. But those are the things that I think for all of us, we can all raise our hands and say, yes, definitely. I have felt isolated. I have been terrified of that jump. And yeah, anxiety is my homeboy. Like, it's around all the time.
So true.
Sometimes it goes
right here.
Sometimes it goes on vacation, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I think those would be some of the things.
That's so good. True. I was just thinking about that this morning, because it's like, wake up and it was like, I'm like, okay, I'm waking up and I'm already feeling some anxiety. Like, why do I feel anxiety? And it's just the kind of like that mental kind of checklist. Okay, well, I got to do this. I got to make sure I do this. I'm doing this. I'm like, okay, take a minute, ground yourself. But it's so true. I mean, just waking up, it's like, and some of it is worse than others. I mean, some days it's worse than others. Today was just kind of like, damn, I just woke up. And I'm already starting to feel some anxiety just in mentally thinking about everything that needs to get done.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
I think another big stressor, which is kind of what we talked about earlier, is money, but not necessarily, well, part of it is income, but that inconsistency that comes with entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And like you said, not even really thinking about like, the benefits that you had, that now it's kind of like you gotta hunt to eat, you know, until you set up some systems of having passive income. Like, if I'm not working, I'm not eating, you know? And that can cause a lot of stress and anxiety. Even when things are going well, it's still like it's hard to focus on that, because like, okay, the next week I gotta make sure I'm doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
You feel good on those weeks that you're Like, yeah, it's a good week. Right. I'm doing it this week. Whatever I didn't do before, I'm doing it now. And then the next week, it's like, oh, yeah, remember?
We're on a roller coaster.
Right. Yes. Yes. Some weeks are ramen noodle week. Some weeks are Chipotle week.
Right. So, you never know. Yeah. And I like what you said about even the comparison, where it's kind of like when you don't have people that you can kind of bounce back and forth, like talking about what your experiences are, or you're just going on what's going on social media. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be like, okay, why aren't we there yet? Why am I not where they at? Or how do I get to that place? Right. And it's so funny because like then you'll meet people that are like, oh my God, you're so amazing, you're doing this stuff. And I'm like, ooh, what are we talking about? Like, there's nothing out there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm an appliance. You know, like, whatever.
Well, but I think part of that, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ebony.
But I'm just saying, like, it's always people looking at you thinking like you're living this certain life and not really knowing until you like connect with other people that are entrepreneurs and going through similar things.
Right. Well, and I think part of it too is where you think people are, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, oh, that looks real pretty. They must, mm-hmm. you know, their practice must be full and all of their passive income must be rolling in. And maybe it is, and maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
I think as entrepreneurs, also, there's a certain level of vulnerability that we just say, okay, I'm in, and then you're in it, and you're like, oh, damn, you know, I'm really, really vulnerable. This is really uncomfortable. And because we don't always talk honestly about the behind the scenes, absolutely. We want everybody to think, oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, like everything's great. And, you know, and it's not always great. And I think that's what adds also to the stress and the isolation.
Right. It is, because it's the fine balance between being, you know, authentic, to use that that phrase, and you are a business. And so I don't know if I want someone who's like sort of constantly like, man, this week is hard. Like so you have to figure out the level to which you're going to be open and honest and with whom, because everybody who's following you isn't necessarily supporting you.
Right.
So being able to differentiate that and find a place that feels safe to do some of those things, because there is a part of you that has to do the branding and wear the t-shirts and be out and be ready to smile and always have your business cards on you and that sort of thing, and have your pitch ready. So there is a part of you that has to be on and performative, but you know, and that's part of the identity. Absolutely. But there should also be a part of you that's able to, like, you know, take that robe off for a second, and be really honest about what's happening.
Right. Which is that community part you were talking about.
I was just about to say that it goes back, especially to those people that have known you before. And even what resonated a lot with me is what you said about, like, yes, they bring you down, like, yo, you just have any in the session, but also when you're an entrepreneur and you hit certain, like, I don't want to say goals, but like these things that look big on the outside to other people, that's just what happens. Or, you know, you're moving on to the next one real quick, and so those people can also be like, hey, like, that's awesome. Like, you need to sit back and acknowledge that that's something that's good that's happening. Because sometimes when you are in the back, you know, or you're doing the work, it's just kind of like, oh, well, duh, because I did this and this, that's why that happened. It's not that serious. Right. And you're like, no, like, that's awesome. Like, everybody ain't out here doing that.
Yeah.
So that's the point of that community, because they can celebrate your wins or even push you to see your wins that you just kind of bypassing. And moving on to the next one. Yeah.
I agree.
I was going to add just one piece as far as the stressors go, because I do think that having people that were there before to be able to ground you and celebrate you. But I think it can also be a stressor, especially when you're first starting out, in that you are really kind of focused on creating this, and then you're stressed out. And it's real easy for people to take that personal also, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not everybody is going to celebrate your glow up, right?
Right.
Not everybody is going to be comfortable with the changes that then happen, you know, to your kind of circle. Right. Absolutely. Because now you're not able to do what you used to do before, or maybe you are kind of, you're sharing your time with other people or other practices or what have you. So that can be a stressor in and of itself, is how your relationships change also.
Absolutely.
You're going to have the ones that are there and they're like, yes, do it. We get it. You're doing your thing. Hey, remember, check in. And then you're going to have the ones that are like, oh, so you think you're, well, you're too busy now, so, you know.
Right.
It's like, damn.
You're absolutely right. Not everyone is going to understand what's going on. And they might understand and also might not care. And so, so that's up to
you. And you need someone else to blow out too. What unique factors do you think that Black and Latinx entrepreneurs face that maybe white entrepreneurs don't?
Oh, how much time we got?
So, clearly, that could be a whole podcast to itself.
It could. So I think on a real basic level, the idea of what it means to how do I market my business? That's one part of it. But to what extent am I going to be connected to my business? So what I mean by that is, like, I might not ever have my name attached to my business or my face, because I want this to sort of feel neutral, and that is open to everyone, because if they saw my Black or brown face, they might, for whatever reason, feel like this isn't something that's for me, or it's not a competent space, or whatever people project onto their own issues when they see Black and brown folks. Right. So, and so to like counteract that, sometimes people will choose to be way, way in the background. Mm-hmm. And then trying for me, one of the pieces that was something I had to work through is I was assuming I was going to get some backlash. Like, okay, so if I'm choosing to work with the Black community, how am I going to handle when people say that's not fair, or don't do that, or that's not appropriate, or you, whatever, how am I going to handle that? And so I had to really think through what I was going to say to address that, because I wasn't changing it. So I had to figure out what I was going to say to address that. So making a decision that you're going to serve a community, serve a population, and then trying to figure out, how do I justify it? Do I need to justify it? Or what do I do when it comes up in my face? And so, because I've even heard people talking about just wearing a shirt, minding my Black business, and they're not me, and they're getting all kinds of responses. Some of them are positive, and then some of them are not so positive. So what I'm realizing is that even the phrase minding my Black business, there are some folks who are in the dominant culture that see the word Black and automatically are making, they're translating that into almost like a cuss word. Right. Like it says, minding my damn business. I was like, that's not what it says. That's Black. But that says something about what you even are making sense of when you see that word.
So they're not minding their business.
Hello. First of all,
step one,
reread the shirt again. So
I'm minding mine, you mind yours.
Right. So it's that sort of thing. So we're dealing with all levels of implicit bias when it comes to Black and brown folks just sort of trying to build a business. And then you have to deal with what it means to be in a larger entrepreneurial community. To what extent will you have referrals, or will you be able to collaborate? Will people think of you when it's time to do events? To what extent will you have to, you know, sort of fight to be a voice or have a seat at the table in those ways? So I think they are, and these are things that are not uncommon to other agencies, but it's really hard when you're trying to be, you are the forefront, the foundation of something, and every single step sort of feels like a fight to get people to hear you. Or you might even be targeted. So that's a whole nother thing, depending on where you are, what you're doing, and how you choose to market yourself. And so those are things that don't happen for white entrepreneurs. Just doesn't happen.
Right.
Nothing they ever have to consider. Right. Those are, you know, those of course can impact your mental health for sure.
Definitely. And then when you said that even collaborating on events or being chosen to speak and things like that, that being chosen to talk about Black issues or Latinx issues, as opposed to I'm a relationship therapist. Right. I just have to talk about relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, you get chosen because we want you to talk about this specific subset of relationships.
Right.
You know, that's the only reason why you get picked to be on this panel or whatever the case may be. So that is one of those things that's kind of like, you know, I appreciate you thinking of me, but also like I can speak on this as a whole. Like it doesn't have to be so specific, but it happens.
It sure does.
It definitely happens. Obviously, we know that race is, it affects it. It is, and even to the point of mental beliefs or whatever, as far as like when business is passing you by or when you're not getting certain calls or things to kind of figure out for yourself, is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I'm Black? Is it because I'm Latin? Is it, you know, like that's that whole thing that you go through internally when certain things don't happen or come your way. Is there anything that you feel like minority business owners, entrepreneurs should know that can help them kind of navigate this?
Yeah, so I'm going to sound like a broken record. you know, finding your community of minority business owners for lots of reasons. One, because they might also be isolated and not know that you're even out there. And they can certainly, for the most part, a large majority of them will be able to identify and understand and commiserate with what that means to sort of have some of these experiences that are very unique. To building a business. I think the other parts are doing your own self-care throughout the day because I've had some instances of like microaggressions at work and it didn't even occur to me that it was happening in the moment until probably like 30 minutes later and then I got mad. So I had to like, I was like, well, you can't go into this session all angry. You gonna have to
work that. Gotta work that out.
Yeah. So it was just a quick little comment that somebody said to me in the waiting room, and it just sort of sat with me. And so, so these things can happen. I didn't have the opportunity to check in with my community, so I had to figure it out for me. And so for me, that meant turning on some music and just sort of pulling myself out of the moment and making a note to sort of check in with somebody in particular once it was over. I think that, the idea of checking in with other people. And for some people, I even have a couple of entrepreneurs that I check in with on a monthly basis. So sometimes I'm able to do those things spontaneously, but it really helps when I have things scheduled on a calendar because apparently I live and die by that calendar. That's a hazard of entrepreneurship. If it's not written down, it's not going to happen. So now I'm having to schedule relationship time, but that makes sense. It's work. So doing those things too, because it also gives me something to look forward to. Like, oh, Wednesday I get to talk to such and such. And so, I think just not trying to handle these things by yourself. Because there isn't, sometimes people feel like, well, if I can do it by myself, that means I'm, you know, quite accomplished. But there isn't a lot of glory in sort of walking around being burdened all by yourself. You don't have to be. You don't have to.
And I think that's a good point of even, like you said, the community aspect of meeting other entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs that you can do business with. That like if I'm looking for somebody to help me with this certain area, I could reach out to another minority business that may also be going through the same struggles and understands what I'm dealing with. So
Check out your local chamber of commerce. Here we have a Black Chamber of Commerce as well. They've revitalized here and they're doing some phenomenal work. So there might even the Urban League, there might already be some spaces in your community that are already doing some things that you can just sort of insert yourself and find a community.
Yeah. Right. Definitely. So what is your favorite resource, podcast, book that you like to tell people about, whether it's entrepreneurs or clients or whatever?
Right. Yeah. So there's some pretty cool ones when it comes to business building or some pretty cool.
I'm like,
So a couple of pods that come to mind is Support is Sexy. That's by Elaine Fluker. And so it's actually like a daily, bless her heart, she does a daily podcast. Wow. But it's about all things business building, whether that means, you know, it's never too old to start or being an online company or whatever, whatever. So it's really cool for, you know, someone like me who business building isn't their strongest suit. I get to sort of, you know, listen to the experts. So her thing is really cool. There is also one called, what's my man's name? I think his name is Leslie Samuels. And he does one on, blogging. So Blogging with Leslie Samuel, and it's also sort of like a business one, but it also talks about like passive income and that sort of thing. So that's really cool, because having multiple streams of income is going to be very helpful. So then we also have Redefining Wealth with Patrice Washington. So I actually found her through like a guest spot she did on someone else's podcast. And I was like, well, I need to check out what she's doing. So I appreciate her. And then, of course, we have like Side Hustle Pro with Nikhelia. She does a really good job too. Right. And so, and then because money management is real, she doesn't have a podcast, but she needs one. So the Budgetista, Tiffany.
She does have a podcast, Bonnie Mission. So, Bonnie Vision, I listen to it every week with Tiffany.
So she is awesome. I usually catch her in all these places. So whether that's like her IG story or sometimes she's on the doctors, or just everywhere. I was like, whoa. So she's killing it. And then I have a whole list of like mental health podcasts that I adore, because I think you all are doing such phenomenal work. Of course, Melanin Mental Health is a part of that list. And then, you know, Takiya Blackman is doing some really cool things as an advocate with Fireflies Unite. And then we have, so Eve Hudson is doing some things with first generation folks, business owners. She's doing some pretty cool work. It's called the Purpose University, which I think is really cool. Oh my goodness. So there's Talk Camp Couch. I feel like there's 12 of them. There's Supervision Support. It's a whole list of things. I give you a whole list. So I don't want to leave anybody out. But yeah, so one of the things that I do want to get back into, I mean, you talked about books, is reading more, because I think I'm sort of I'm focused in pod land right now.
Me too. I'm loving it. I love podcasts.
But I have been walking around with Lovey's book, the Do Better Manual, for like 3 months, just walking around with it. And so I was like, can you open the book and start reading it, please? So,
that's why I love Audible.
So yeah, I want to get more into reading more things, but yeah, so that's sort of
Awesome. No, those are awesome, because I wrote them all down. We'll make sure to put those in the show notes if you haven't heard of them. You should definitely check out Brown Ambition though, Tiffany's podcast. It is
good. Definitely.
I have heard it to so many people, like men, women, everybody. Like, they really give you such good information about just money and like getting yourself together, basically.
Right, and that is a conversation that we don't like to have. We don't like to talk about money or be real about it, and so I appreciate her doing it.
So tell us what makes you a dope therapist.
Love this.
We already talked about it, but you
love it.
So I'm a dope therapist because I am uncompromising. I know that I want to help improve the mental health of the Black community, and that's just the way it is. I'm not moving from that. I'm not going to have to explain. I'm not going to explain it too many more times. And, you know, I think it's just, we're in this space now where we're constantly being assaulted, literally and metaphorically. And so, you know, my job is just to stand firm and help remind people of the things that we need to do to sort of manage the day-to-day nonsense that's going on. And so so I choose to be dope by doing that every day.
Awesome. I like that question too, because I do feel like that's something that we struggle with when somebody says, like, what makes you awesome? It's like, I don't know.
Gotta own it.
Forces y'all to talk about y'all's dopeness.
Gotta own it.
All right, and why is therapy dope?
Oh my goodness. I mean, if you think about therapy in its basic form, what other space do you have to sit with someone that you trust and that's sacred and it's all about you? Yeah. And all about looking about your most vulnerable spaces, examining your hopes and dreams, talking about the most painful parts of your life in a way that is supportive and allows you to fight for yourself. There are no other spaces that do that. And so therapy is dope because it is for you. It is crafted just for you. Nobody else will have another experience like you're having. So that's why therapy is dope.
Love it.
Thank you. Yeah. That's so awesome. So how does everybody keep the contact? Get in the Facebook group, all that stuff.
Yeah. So probably the website is the best place to start. So mindinmyblackbusiness.com because it'll have links to all of the social media pages. So on IG, Instagram, you can go to Minding My Black Business. It also says Dr. Janae Taylor. On Twitter, we're Minding My Black Biz. On Facebook, we do have our group, Minding My Black Business. I think you just only have to answer two questions and then we'll get you right on in. And so even if you are in the Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area, if you go to the Minding My Black Business page, it'll tell you how to get to the private practice website, Taylor Counseling and Consulting Services. So yeah, that's where
I am. Yeah. This was so good. Right. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
This conversation is just you know, I'm taking away some jewels from here.
Right.
I'm a woosah before I go into the office.
I know that's right.
We really appreciate it. Check out Melanin and Mental Health across social media, Melanin and Mental Health on everything. So, join the Facebook group, Melanin and Mental Health, and Between Sessions podcast group. What do we have one on Sunday? If you're in the Houston area and you're up at 6 a.m. listening to 97.9 The Box, we are on the radio, Google, talking about Minority Mental Health Month. Oh, and then Danielle's webinar it's been moved to August 19th. So we're going to be starting to advertise that, and it's working with what's the title? Do you remember the title?
I remember the title is The Unseen Battle. The Unseen Battle. Okay, wait a minute. Okay.
Hold Black please. And Latinx kids.
Yes, that's right. Right here. So okay. The Unseen Battle, the unique mental health challenges for Black and Latinx. The unique mental health challenges Black and Latinx youth face. So yes. She is Danielle specializes in working with children and trauma, and so she's going to be leading the next webinar on, you know, going back to school. So many of our Black and brown children are often misdiagnosed and, you know, marginalized. So she's going to be talking to us to help parents, to help teachers, educators on some signs to look for. That'll be great, right in time for back to school.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll talk to you guys in Tucson, out of town.
Yes. She's going to be vacationing. She's going to be in España.
But thank you for joining us and enjoy the rest of your week. All right.
Yes. Okay. Bye. Thank you, Dr. Taylor.
Bye. Thank you, Dr. Taylor.